good morning as we come together online to celebrate the joy of Easter. We are worshiping today in very unusual circumstances. In other years, our church buildings would contain a mass of the most resplendent flowers and other blooms and various decorations, giving inspiration to all who gather here to worship. This year it is very different. But we trust that what takes place this morning will enable us to sincerely and joyfully mark the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We sing the hymn, Jesus Christ is risen today. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant that, as by your grace going before us, you put into our minds good desires, so by your continual help, we may bring them to good effect. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning at verse 1. At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O Virgin Israel. Again, you shall take your tambourines and go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall enjoy the fruit. From there shall be a day when sentinels will call in the hill country of Ephraim, "Come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God." For thus says the Lord, "Sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, 'Save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labour together. A great company, they shall return here." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We sing the Easter anthems.
The epistle is from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, beginning at verse 34. Then Peter began to speak to them. "I truly understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, everyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear. Not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin throughout his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn, Take Heart, Friends and Neighbours, Now 'Tis Eastertide. Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. John, chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of our risen Lord. Amen. For me, two images blend to evoke that first Easter morning. First, the beautiful sunken garden area in the magnificent Butchart Gardens in Victoria, British Columbia, in Canada. I have been lucky enough to visit these gardens, although never at this time of year. However, I have a calendar with photographs of the various features of the gardens each calendar month. The photograph for April is a stunning one, with the fabulous blooms in a dazzling array of colours, giving a vivid impression of what the sunken garden looks like this month. Many times I have imagined walking through these gardens before dawn on Easter Day, then standing silently, waiting for the sun to slip over the horizon, and then go to church to proclaim, "Jesus is risen." In the midst of this international health emergency and government restrictions on movement, there will be no visitors to the Butchart Gardens in Victoria or to any similar gardens here in County Down. Yet in mind's eye, we can picture the scene or a similar one. Second, the painting by Eugene Bernard of Peter and John running to the tomb that first Easter day. A painting depicting brilliantly the chilly half-light and somehow conveying both the despair and exhaustion and the fragile, tentative hope on their faces. So these two images evoke for me what it might have been like to be in that garden on the first Easter day. And then I hope to try and enter into the heads of Mary and Peter and John. Of course, Mary comes to the tomb first with no clue of what she's about to experience. She knows only that the very core of her being has been ripped out. Jesus, who had loved her and believed in her like no one else, is dead. So when she comes to the tomb, grief-stricken and distraught, and sees the stone rolled back, she panics and, instead of looking inside, races to tell the others. And then Peter and John run too, their feelings much more confused than Mary's. Of course, there's love and grief, but Peter also feels shame and fear, and the desperate need to put things right. Maybe there's doubt too, because they still haven't yet come to terms with the fact that Jesus had been killed. They'd been sure he was the Messiah, but the Messiah was meant to lead them to victory, not die at the hands of pagans. And so they reach the tomb and look in and see the linen cloths neatly lying there. How odd. For the most logical explanation for the missing body is grave robbers. But grave robbers wouldn't have tidied up after themselves, wouldn't have wasted time unwinding the linen cloths and folding them neatly. So, what? We're meant, I think, to connect this with what would have been a very recent memory for Peter and John. The same Jesus had brought his friend Lazarus back to life, because Lazarus had emerged from the tomb still struggling to untangle himself from his linen wrappings. Whereas here, it's as if the body had just risen up from its wrappings. John, if you like, puts two and two together. Then Peter realizes also. Maybe Jesus really has risen from the dead, not like Lazarus, who came back in his human body and will eventually die again, but maybe into a new type of body, if that was possible. It certainly hadn't ever happened before in the scriptures. But the fact that Peter and John see this and simply return home and lock themselves in again suggests they still need time to process it all. They're focused on what the religious authorities could do to them rather than what Jesus would have them do. But Mary does stay, because her only concern is for the Lord. She doesn't care what the authorities might threaten, and so she becomes the first person to see Jesus alive again, and the first to receive Christ's commission to share the good news. And this too is strange, because no one wanting to persuade others of the truth of Jesus' resurrection would have written into the script a woman as witness. Women, like shepherds, weren't deemed trustworthy enough to act as witnesses in the law courts in those days. But unlike the others, Mary understands. She knows deep in her being what Jesus tries to explain to the disciples through the foot washing, that his compassionate, unconditional love is the beginning and the end of his whole purpose, his life and his death. She knows it because She's experienced it firsthand. Jesus befriends, trusts, loves her. Not in a man-woman way, but still in a way such that as soon as he speaks her name, she knows without doubt that it is he. And her heart leaps for joy, for a name spoken in love has the power to change someone. As it says in the book of the prophet Isaiah, "Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." To me, Mary is not just Mary. Jesus' relationship with Mary somehow echoes the stories of the prodigal son, the good Samaritan, the two debtors, the woman caught in adultery, the foot washing, and so many others. Therefore, it's no surprise that Mary is the first witness, chosen as the first evangelist. For she is the exemplar, not just of all that Jesus came and lived and died for, but also of all that the resurrection was about. And I find it fascinating that for centuries, people have been arguing over exactly what Mary and the other disciples witnessed: bodily resurrection or something else. But perhaps we do not need to understand this. Certainly, the Gospels don't attempt to analyze what happened. They simply tell the story and ask us to have faith, to take that same leap of faith that John took when he saw the linen wrappings and believed. Perhaps all we need to know is that by coming through and overcoming death, Jesus offers us what St. Paul calls a new creation, a new and better way of doing things. Perhaps here we can hear echoes of John's prologue: "In the beginning was the Word," and Genesis, where "in the beginning, Jesus, the Word, is co-creator." But in the beginning, things went wrong because of Adam, and Jesus comes to put things right. So Easter marks the end of the old and the first day of the new creation. Perhaps then Mary calling Jesus the gardener is ironic, for the Easter garden seems to parallel the garden of creation, and Jesus replaces Adam as gardener, sowing new seeds within people to transform them for new ways of being, of loving. Jesus' disciples clearly demonstrate this. Before the crucifixion, they were a motley crew, making mistakes, misunderstanding, frightened. But from that first Easter evening, when Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit into them, like God breathing life into the first man, Adam, they become transformed, energized, a force to be reckoned with, spreading the gospel so that hundreds of generations later, we can hear this story today. Today, Jesus calls each of us by name. He redeems our past mistakes and asks us to respond by living the good news. We do not have to wait until we die for new life. It is here and now, simply waiting for us to respond. Amen. We respond to the ministry of God's word by affirming our faith. We believe in one God.
We believe in one God.
The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. We pray for the Church as we celebrate Christ's resurrection. We pray for all Christian communities that they may experience a renewed spirit of commitment and faith. Wherever there is religious persecution, darkness, or despair, may the golden dawn of the resurrection transform all things. Lord of life,
fill us with your love.
We pray that in a world which is filled with violence, hostility, and disease, the joy of resurrection may be made known. We pray for love in response to hatred, for trust in place of suspicion, and for reconciliation where there are tensions and conflict. We pray especially for all the places of the world in which there is conflict. Lord of life,
fill us with your love.
We pray for our local communities at this anxious time. Our schools and many of our businesses, which are closed in the midst of the present health emergency, and all people spending the Easter holiday period in their own homes. May the light of Easter illumine the shadows of our relationships, so that the love which conquers death may bind us together in a spirit of mutual respect and understanding. Lord of life,
fill us with your love.
We pray for all who are ill, especially those suffering the symptoms of the coronavirus, and all who are weary or sick in body or mind. We pray for those who are frightened or who are without faith to sustain them. We pray too for all victims of natural disasters. Give your Easter peace to all who are in need and those who are addressing need, that they may find life and wholeness in your saving strength. Lord of life,
fill us with your love.
We remember those who have died, those whose faith sustained them in life. May we too rediscover the hope which makes us fully alive and attuned to the power of your risen Son. Lord of life,
fill us with your love.
Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume.
We do not presume
to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then they were glad when they saw the Lord. The peace which Jesus brought through his rising again on Easter day be with you all.
And also with you.
We sing the hymn, "At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing Praise to Our Victorious King."
Thank you.
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. And above all, we praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us. By dying, he destroyed our death. By rising, he restored our life. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue, a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension. And we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great High Priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We, being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
it is not possible for those participating in this service online to physically receive the bread and wine. But let us remember the words of one of the early church fathers: only believe, and you shall receive. In that sense, I invite you to receive the Holy Communion. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Living God, who for our redemption gave your only begotten Son to the death of the cross, and by his glorious resurrection have delivered us from the power of our enemy, grant us so to die daily unto sin, that we may evermore live with him in the joy of his risen life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. God the Father, by whose love Christ was raised from the dead, open to you who believe the gate of everlasting life. God the Son, who in rising from the grave has won a glorious victory, give you joy as you share the Easter faith. God the Holy Spirit, whom the risen Lord breathed into his disciples, empower you and fill you with Christ's peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you, and remain with you always. The hymn: Ye choirs of New Jerusalem, your sweetest notes employ. Go in the peace of the risen Christ. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen.
We thank you for being with us in this celebration of the resurrection, albeit in very unusual circumstances. And we wish each and every one of you a very peaceful and blessed Easter. Our next online service will be at 10 o'clock next Sunday. It will take the form of hymns and readings for Easter. Thank you.